April is here, and if your windows won't open for fresh air or seal tight to keep out pollen and bugs, then talk to Window Nation. Right now, for every two windows you buy, you'll get two free. There's no limit to how much you can save. Plus, save even more with no interest or payments for 24 months. With proven quality, you'll get affordable windows that meet or beat the national brands. Don't miss out. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com to schedule your free in-home estimate.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This is the Go Birds Podcast.
The Go Birds Podcast, presented by Parks Sportsbook and Casino. Elliot, a kind of a strange week. Obviously, Thanksgiving coming up. We want to get some pods out before everyone, you know, does their thing for Thanksgiving. But then we got a little break, and then there's not even a game on Sunday.
I know. Very, very different. And James, I need some advice right off the top.
Ooh, you know that's my thing, giving advice.
It is. So now that, like, everyone's working from home all the time and Kristen's working from home all the time, and I'm used to working from home, but it's different now. I was with Kristen here, right? Like, all I do is work from bed, and I need to stop doing that.
Oh, what? I did not know this. You work from bed?
Yeah, I literally,
buddy.
I sleep, I wake up, I work for like an hour or two in bed, I go downstairs, I eat breakfast. Then I come back up, go on like all the various Zoom calls, and I basically do them all from my bed.
I had no idea. Well, that's so obviously, as we've talked about before, I go to work every day, so I don't have the same experience a lot of people do, but my wife does. And Emily has been working from home for, you know, the same time everyone else is, since March, whatever. And she has set up like a makeshift office at the island in our kitchen, where she has her computer set up, but she always like works there, like never from bed, ever.
So Kristen set up a makeshift office in like the office room, basically. We didn't have one prior to this. It was just kind of like a random room we had stuff in. But so she's using that. But the issue is, it's just way more comfortable to sit in my bed than it is on the island. Like, I guess I could do the couch, but there's absolutely no denying that the fact, like, so we're recording this at around 2:30, right? You've been working for 4 hours. Mm-hmm. You know, we've both been up, I would say, since 8 or 9. I'm tired.
Earlier,
I haven't even done anything all day.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I've worked, obviously, but I'm saying I haven't like really moved around. I feel like for my own energy, I need to stop this.
Yeah.
And I think from now on,
the bed promotes a feeling of not just sleepiness, but also like, you know, who's really getting the best out of themselves work-wise when they're working from bed? I venture to say nobody, Elliot. I venture to say no one.
Yeah.
It just doesn't feel like you should work when you're in bed. You're in bed.
I think I'm going to make a mental shift. I'm going to start working from the couch.
I'm
there
proud
it is
of you,
right
buddy.
There.
Wow.
First floor. Back
so
to,
so
back
have you been
the
recording
floor.
All these pods in bed and I didn't even know it the whole time?
Literally. All of them.
Dude, I always envisioned you. So I'm at the studio now, but generally when I record from home, I'm in the basement with a table and my mic all set up. You're in bed.
Yeah, I'm in my bed for all the Eagle Zoom calls too. That's why I have a virtual background.
This is amazing.
But I'll try to stop it.
Please. You know, I think it's a good move. It's good to know that I had no idea this whole time. I appreciate that.
No problem. Well, now everybody knows. So for everybody that's working from home, any advice they would have on a nice work situation would be appreciated.
The cat's out of the bag. We've taken the what's that word? Damn it. Lowered the veil. Thank you.
There you go.
Lowered the veil on Elliot in bed recording. And now it's all I can think about. You all like, are you laying? Are
sometimes
you sitting?
For the Parks pod, I lay down, honestly. Oh, like, God, I'll like lean really? Onto one side.
Oh, no. I had no idea. My whole world is
shaking.
My whole world is shaking right now, Elliot. I don't even know what to say.
Felt like something I had to share.
I'm happy you did.
Like,
and I'm also
like you,
really
you
not
have a
happy
problem
you did.
And you just come out and say it, it like makes you self-correct. Like now that I've admitted it.
Oh, man. You have a choice.
I will not do it
I like
anymore.
This. Yeah. I like this. You forced yourself into it.
Well, Eagles.
Let's get to more fun talk. The Eagles.
I was going
to
say, yeah,
I'd rather talk about you being
about
in bed while we talk than talk about the Eagles, Elliot. Any more thoughts on bed or do we have to talk Eagles?
Nope, that's it. We can talk about the same Howie Doug Carson trifecta
right, well,
that is.
Yeah, at least this week there is a new wrinkle to it in the sense that the bench Carson thing is real, Elliot. Like yeah. as a discussion, obviously we'll talk about what we believe and where we stand on and all that. But in terms of being a not even just a local talking point anymore. It's a national talking point, Elliot. We're seeing like people you wouldn't expect to chime in on this one. What's the newest updates on who around the country is chiming in on Jalen Hurts?
Well, everyone's favorite receiver, DK Metcalf.
Unbelievable.
Put on Instagram. It was a poll, I guess, on some Instagram post saying, should Jalen Hurts start over Carson Wentz? And DK Metcalf chimed in, yes, with the little check emoji. So just a little stab in the back. You know, it's all the Eagles fans that already feel pain every time they hear the name DK Metcalf. But what's interesting is even in that post, there's a bunch of NFL players chiming in, putting like, yes, absolutely. And it just speaks to, once again, why drafting Jalen Hurts was always going to end up this way. Like, this was always how it was going to end up. People have watched Jalen Hurts for years. They've seen him play at Alabama. They've seen him play at Oklahoma. They like him, right? Like, he's a big name. This was always how it was going to end up. Like, it really always was. And this is really the week where it's come to a head, which is interesting to me because obviously the pick six and he was not great against Cleveland, but I think he's played worse games this year than he has that one. I think it was just the culmination of all of it leads to it. But yeah, look, like the benching Carson thing has kind of just been an Eagles Twitter talking point, like that type of thing. But it's real now. Like Doug gets asked about it all the time. Doug will think about it on the sideline at Seattle. Like I'm sure the Eagles have talked about it. It is a real thing that could happen. The question is, will it happen? Should it happen? All those various things.
Yeah, that is definitely the question. And look, who could have seen this coming with Jalen Hurts other than everyone else except Howie Roseman?
It's amazing.
You and I talked about this exact thing and have continued to talk about it since the pick saying we know where this is going. Like, you had a great line on our post-game pod the other day after the Browns game where I thought it was just so succinctly, perfectly put. If Nate Sudfeld's the backup, this isn't a big deal. Like, this isn't
right.
a discussion. It's like you could pull Carson during a game because he's struggling, and it's not a thing. Now it's a thing because of Jalen Hurts.
DK Metcalf isn't getting on Instagram
exactly.
to fight
say, I'll play
for Nate
Sudfeld.
And so I was going back, and I went and I looked at Howie's press conference after they drafted Jalen Hurts. And it's truly comical to read. Like, if it wasn't so depressing, it would be just laugh out loud funny. I'm going to read you some of these quotes that he said about drafting Jalen Hurts. And it's unbelievable. All right, so here's the first one. Nobody's going to be looking at a rookie quarterback as someone who's going to be taking over as a Pro Bowl quarterback, a guy who's been on the cusp of winning an MVP. Well, that lasted about, what, 7 weeks?
Yeah, more
six
or
weeks?
Less.
Like, literally everybody in the NFL is talking about a rookie quarterback taking over for a Pro Bowl quarterback. So that was really naive. The other one, which I'm surprised I didn't pick up at the time, but pretty outrageous. Quote, we didn't think this was much different than we brought in Nick Foles. Like, yeah, bro, that's the problem.
It's like, no shit, Howie, shit.
It's like, it's exactly like when you brought in Nick Foles. Like, oh, man. And then final one, this was like just the true insult to Carson. He goes, this is exciting for a quarterback. Like,
oh, my God, what a slap in the face.
I'm sure Carson could use a lot of words to describe Jalen Hurts coming in. I would bet exciting is pretty far down the list,
buddy,
of his genuine emotion,
yes,
that, of when he drafted Jalen Hurts.
I don't remember who it was, whether it wasn't Goodell, I don't think, but whoever stepped to the podium and said Eagles with the 53rd pick, the Eagles select Jalen Hurts. I guarantee you Carson Wentz was hooting and hollering, being like, yeah, it's so exciting, man. Yes, bring that guy in.
And this is exactly it. This is exactly what we all said was going to happen, and it's exactly what is happening. It really is. And, you know, I've talked about this, and this year is different, obviously, because of COVID. I'm not able to be in the locker room. But I'm telling you, like, when I'm in the press box and I'm able to watch the sideline during Eagles games and even before the game, I never see them talk, like, ever. I have never seen them have, like, a conversation outside of, like, there'll be times.
Are you talking about Doug and Wentz or Wentz and Hurts?
Wentz and Hurts.
Gotcha.
Wentz and Hurts. So, I mean, like,
because
even during
the whole
warm-up,
Doug,
like,
and Carson not talking during games has been a weird thing too, but go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's another discussion, but it has to be, I mean, you could almost feel the tension from up in the press box between Carson and Jalen Hurts. And it has to be even worse now. Like, imagine, I mean, Carson, I know he doesn't read media and all that stuff, but, like, everyone knows this is what people are talking about, right? Like, and if you're Jalen Hurts, you must be going to practice thinking, like, my time is coming. Like, this is coming. Like, you look at nationally what's happening. You look at how Carson is playing. And I bet Jalen Hurts feels like his time is coming where he's going to play. And it's the exact bad quarterback situation that you should have never brought into. Like, people say I, quote unquote, hate Carson and all that stuff. But, like, Carson didn't deserve this, right? Like, Carson, yeah, if they drafted a quarterback next year in the second round, then you could say, you know what? Like, Carson, you were terrible all of 2020. So they got to do what they got to do. But to draft one in 2019 and, like, arguably the highest profile one in the draft. Like, yes, Joe Burrow was high profile, obviously. Joe Burrow was probably not that much more high profile than Jalen Hurts. Obviously, he was a better prospect. He went number one overall. But just in terms of, like, Jalen Hurts walks in that locker room and everybody knows who he is. Like, everyone already knows who Jalen Hurts is. That is not the case for 80% of the rookies, right? Like, no one on the Eagles knew who Davion Taylor was when he stepped in the locker room. So that stuff matters. It does. And when you've already put Carson through something where he's had to deal with winning back over the locker room from Nick Foles, he's seen as trying to his backup be built both in the locker room and outside of the stadium, to put that on him, like, it's insane. And and now you're putting him through this, like, it's outrageous. It really is.
Yeah, and I mentioned this on the postgame pod, but that's part of the thing, that the timeline of it all, that just makes absolutely zero sense to me. The idea that you would give Carson that massive contract prior to 2019, and then Carson, yeah, it was an up and down year, but everybody agreed, you included, we all agreed that at the end of the year, those last four games, that Carson was on the upswing, that we were all feeling better about Carson after those last four games than we had felt about him since 2017. And then to go out that draft after that year and use the second round pick on Jalen Hurts, it just made absolutely no sense from any perspective. Like, it was one of the craziest moves that Howie has made, and Howie's made a lot of bad moves. This was one where every single Eagles fan is like, what? Like, yeah. What? And that's how it's played out. It's played out as bad as it could have played out, Elliot. Like, it has been as much of a disaster as we thought it was going to be when it happened.
Yeah. So the question is, what now?
Yeah.
I feel like on the postgame pod, we talked a little bit about the possibility of benching Carson. I'd be interested to hear where you're at with it. We haven't really talked about this a ton, like, off the pod either. So, like, would you bench Carson?
Okay. So I am, here's where I'm at with this. I would still have Carson be the starter for the game, but if he has another horrendous half, I would be fine with a mid-game benching for a few reasons. I do think that, you know, a lot of the stuff we hear so much, right? I mean, there's so many different things that come out about Carson and why he's struggling and, you know, this and that and all that. But I do think one of the things, and you hear it every week when the guy talks, when he keeps saying, I'm going to keep being me, I'm going to be aggressive, I'm going to keep doing what I do. It's like, no, stop being you, man. Like, that's the problem right now. So I do think there is something there where I think it is theoretically possible. And who knows, because Carson has not handled misfortune great in terms of his mental approach to things and all that, and what we've seen at least. But I do think that shocking his system a little bit and putting him on the bench in the middle of a game and saying, bro, you're horrible. Like, you need to sit on this bench right now and watch and learn. I do think that maybe there's something there, because clearly, as horrendous as he has been, it doesn't seem like it has, you know, punctured through his skull just how horrendous he has been and just how much of it is his fault for how horrendous he has been. So I do think there is something to be said for the idea of shocking his system. Would I bench Carson Wentz for Jalen Hurts moving forward, like make Hurts my starter? I'm not there. Like, that's where I'm not at yet, but I am definitely closer than I've ever been, obviously, but I do think there is something to shocking his system. The biggest thing for me in terms of forgetting the Wentz part of it, I don't think Jalen Hurts is going to succeed with the way this team is right now. As I said to you last time, like, short of Patrick Mahomes, I don't think there's a quarterback in the NFL who steps into this system with these players the way it's executing right now and has success.
So I think the only way to save the season is to start Jalen Hurts. And the reason I think that is not even so much an anti-Carson thing. It's a, we've seen what this team is. They are 10 games in. We saw them for 16 games last year and then the playoffs without Carson. But, like, we know what the Eagles are. I don't know if Jalen Hurts can come in and save the season. I honestly don't know. I lean more towards your side of, I think it would be hard to believe he would come in and succeed considering what a mess they are overall. And the fact that, you know, he was not the number one overall pick. He was a late second round pick. That's a weird place to take a quarterback in terms of, like, him both being, like, pro ready, but also a project. Like, I don't know how Jalen Hurts would be, but I do know, because Carson is the quarterback, it's the last, like, attempt they have to save the season. Benching Jason Peters, playing Alshon Less, like, running jet sweeps, doing all that stuff, it's not going to make a significant enough difference. If the Eagles want to somehow, like, get a spark, find a spark somewhere, Jalen Hurts is their last chance. All that being said, I would not bench Carson Wentz. And I don't even know if I would bench him at halftime if he was playing poorly. The only reason I would even consider it is because if you want to really try to save this season. But, like, man, to me, just benching Carson, it's just, once you open that can of worms, like, it's hard to come back from that. And I know people bring up McNabb and, you know, Kevin Cobb and all that, but McNabb was gone a year later. And they're different situations. I know he's older, all that stuff, blah, blah, blah. But the point is, once you bench somebody, that's, like, a pretty significant blow. Like, I can't think of almost any current elite-level quarterbacks where there's been discussion of either benching them or they've actually been benched. I'm sure it's happened in the history of the NFL that a guy's benched and he comes back, but you just don't see it. So to me, if you bench Carson, what if Jalen Hurts plays well? And I'll ask you that, you know, off of your hypothetical. You said you'd be willing to bench him at halftime and put in Jalen Hurts. What if they're losing to Seattle 10-0 at halftime on Monday night? Carson has two turnovers. You put in Jalen Hurts and they win the game.
Yeah, well, look, hold on. Let me react to a few things you said, and I'll get to that hypothetical at the end. First and foremost, Tua was benched last week, and I know it's a different situation, but, like, Brian Flores did say, in a game that I want to win, like, I'm willing to make a move at halftime with my future guy, the guy who's the franchise quarterback of this team, and go back to Fitzpatrick. So I do think it is possible for coaches to make moves in games and it not mean that much moving forward. Now, to be fair, Fitzpatrick didn't come in and win the game and whatever. That's the tougher part. I think the other part of your hypothetical...
Well, there's also no realistic chance of Fitzpatrick becoming the long-term
starter. He's not the franchise guy there.
Right.
I mean, also, just on a basic sense, just to answer your initial question, or your initial reason, like, I don't want to save the season. Like, I don't care about saving the season. That's where I'm at. I'm ready for a top five pick. Let's roll. This isn't worth it. So I
do you agree that Hurts is the only chance to save it, though? Just because of changing the quarterback, regardless of who it is.
Look, theoretically, like, if Carson can turn, I don't expect Carson to, like, all of a sudden be great or anything like that. But I do think that if Carson plays better, I do think that if this team executed better and played more disciplined football, and I do think that that could turn it around. Again, I don't think Wentz is definitely the biggest problem, but he's far from the only problem. I mean, this is a bad football team. They don't execute, man. They're so sloppy and poorly disciplined and all these types of things on game day that I just don't think, again, that's back to my point of any quarterback stepping in and winning with the way these guys are playing right now and the way it's all being run. I just don't see it happening. So I don't, you know, that part of it is less of the reasoning for me, the trying to save the season. And I do get the point, like, look, maybe Hurts could give him a spark. I just don't think it's going to happen again because I don't think Hurts is going to be successful if he is put in. But to your last question, which I think is a fascinating thought, a fascinating hypothetical. It's 10-0 at the half. Wentz has two picks. It looks awful. They go to Hurts. Hurts comes in and is that spark. And all of a sudden turns around. Right. They actually beat the Seahawks. Yeah, I think that's the – like, it's a best worst case scenario for you in that situation, right? Because you're like, wow, Jalen Hurts is better than I thought. But at the same time, now we have a real thing. Like, then it's a real
right. –
Right now, it's like a pseudo-quarterback controversy. That's a real quarterback controversy. That's a real thing that you have to deal with. Ultimately, again, as someone who is not ready to hand the reins over to Hurts and is not ready to completely give up on Carson Wentz, I'm not there, and I wouldn't – even if Hurts played well, I would still give Carson a chance again. But I understand how much harder it makes it, and it's certainly a lot tougher to sell to your fan base.
If the Eagles go to Jalen Hurts and he beats Seattle on Monday night – after they were losing with Carson, you cannot go back to Carson Wentz. And I get your reasoning of like, yeah, you don't want to give up on Carson, but that's why I'm not ready to bench him initially. That's like because of the possibility of it happening.
And oh, it's a good point.
You know, like, is it likely? I don't know.
No,
but
it's not. It's not likely.
I don't know. I mean, like, we've seen Doug with another quarterback.
Yeah, but dude, this team is awful, dude. This team,
I agree, but
they don't execute.
Saying,
they don't play good football. Doug can't even come up with an offense that fits Carson Wentz. Why is he gonna have a great offense to fit Hurts? Doug's offense doesn't fit Hurts. What Doug likes to do. I mean, we've seen that.
Let's take Jalen Hurts' name out of it for a second. Let's just say you took Carson out and put, you know, Joe Average quarterback in there. Like, You just said Carson is the biggest problem with the team. Not the only problem, but the biggest problem. If you begin to solve the biggest problem, like, other things fix themselves
but again,
as well.
So I think Jalen Hurts looks just as bad as Carson out there, is my point.
Well, like, we haven't seen Jalen Hurts.
But you're asking me what I would think would happen. I'm telling you what I think would happen. I think Jalen Hurts would look just as bad as Carson. I don't think any quarterback's coming in and running this system well. And Carson's been awful. But I think Hurts, first and foremost, is not ready to run an offense in the NFL, personally. That's my thought. But at the same time, I think with the weapons he has and the coaching he has, he's not going to be successful.
But if you bench Carson, you are opening the door to the possibility that Jalen Hurts would play better.
No, I get it. I'm not. Your hypothetical is interesting, and it is a reason to consider not benching Wentz in game. When I said it before, it definitely makes me question that because you're right. It does open up a potential Pandora's box. You're absolutely right about that. It's a really fair point. I wouldn't expect it is my point, but you are certainly
right.
You don't even have to worry about it possibly happening if you don't open the door.
Right, and I've said it a few times on the pod, but I'll say it again. Like, if you bench Carson, I mean, does Carson even want to come back? Like, does Carson want to continue his career in Philadelphia if he gets benched here?
Well, you know what? Toughen up, Carson. I mean, seriously. Like,
but it's a players' league. I mean, maybe not as much as the NBA,
But what leverage does Carson have right now? He's got nothing. He's playing like
he can
the
ask
worst
for a trade.
You know what, though? He can ask for a trade. But again, they might not even be able to trade him for what they want to. Like, who knows? But I think they would get more back for a trade for Carson than people would think the way he's playing right now.
I do, too.
So
yeah.
I certainly think that's, you know, an option if it gets to that point. But, I mean, again, like, I think that this organization has gotten themselves in trouble to this point by caring too much about what Carson wants and what would make Carson happy as opposed to what's best for Carson. I think we've seen it over and over again. Going back to him coming back from that injury in 2018, everyone on the planet knew he was coming back too soon. We talked about it nonstop. We're like, you know, it's a little quick. And I bet you the Eagles said the same thing to Carson because that's what a smart organization does. And on the whole, you know, obviously right now they're a mess, but on the whole, they've been smarter more than not over the last 20 years, as we've talked about. I think they are at least smart at that point. I don't think they wanted Carson to rush back. Carson wanted to rush back. They let him back on the field. Again, these exact type of situations like we're talking about, like things with practice habits, with being tough on him, with, you know, the whole thing again, like where it's the buddy-buddy with Press Taylor, like, because Carson likes it. Like, I think they've gotten themselves in trouble catering to Carson. You need to coach this dude hard. Like, coach this guy. And again, that was my initial thinking with the idea of a halftime benching, is that I think we're at a point where Carson needs to get slammed into reality. And he needs to understand, like, no, bro, like, stop doing what you're doing or else you'll lose your job. Like, it doesn't feel like Carson Wentz feels like his job is on the line here when, as we're talking about, certainly nationally and locally, people think it should be. So I think the Eagles need to be tougher on Carson Wentz in multiple ways.
Yeah, I agree. But you're not you, but like the franchise is opening the door to Carson Wentz's time being over in Philadelphia if they bench him. Like maybe he responds well. Like maybe he does. Maybe they bench him on Monday night halfway through. Jalen Hurts comes in. He's like, whatever. It's not a big, you know, he's like fine, but not completely terrible. They start him the next week and he's like a new guy after getting this benching. Like maybe that's what happens. But once you bench him, you also open the other possibility. And this, I mean, I wrote this morning on WIP, like, the idea of Carson being traded is not as crazy as people think. Like, his cap hit next year in 2021 is $34 million. If they trade him, it drops to $33.2 million. Now, that's a dead cap hit, and it's a big dead cap hit. I acknowledge that. But it's 1 year, and then you're done. Like, Carson is gone. You've recouped an asset, and the contract is off the books in 2022, where you would have $81 million in free agency money to go out and spend. Right. And then you would maybe have Jalen Hurts as your quarterback after seeing him in 2021, or you enter that offseason looking for a new guy. Like the path to moving on from Carson is not as difficult as people think. And if they bench him, like that is the beginning of the path. Like if you bench him, you have to be willing to say this might not work out. And that's why I don't know if I'm there yet in terms of pulling him, because we've seen it happen once before where Carson left and the backup played better than he did, or at least played well enough to create a controversy that still follows him. Like, and I think it could happen again, and I don't think it could survive it happening a second time.
No, look, these are all really valid, fair points, but at a certain point, I mean, he's a grown man. He's an NFL player. Like, you know, at a certain
he's still human. I mean,
I know, but at a certain point, if nothing else is working, what else are you supposed to do? I mean, this guy's a disaster on the field, and he keeps doing the same things every week where, again, I think it's way more of a coaching issue than you do. We've argued about that. I think it's a roster issue, but at the same time, like, Carson's still making dumb decisions week in, week out, and at a certain point, you have to do something. You have to. I mean, Deion Sanders is calling from there. What was that you told me before the pod? Deion Sanders is coming on saying he should get benched? I mean, what is happening here?
So this is a good transition. So Deion Sanders was on the Part of My Take podcast, the Barstool podcast, and he was asked, like, what's going on with Carson Wentz? And I have his quote right here. He said, what I've been telling you all year from day one, honestly, and this is not a I told you so situation. This is an athlete knowing another athlete and an athlete like myself talking to those athletes that are there that are saying, this is not the guy. This is not the guy. So
terrific.
He then goes on to say, if you think Jalen Hurts could possibly be that guy, what are you going to get if you stay with Wentz? You're going to get a division, pretty much what they already have. You have some guys in the locker room saying, hey, man, this ain't working, partner. You could at least give the other kid a shot because this ain't working. He's not the guy. So, look.
Oh, man.
Would that be? I mean,
oh, man, Elliot.
He phrases it in a very, like, primetime way, saying, like, I'm an athlete talking to another athlete.
But he's basically saying, I talk to people in that locker room, and they don't want Carson Wentz the quarterback flat out. I mean, that's what he's saying.
And then he's also saying, what you're going to get is a division, which is pretty much what you already have. So
it's like Deion Santaliquido. It's all over again. Saw this
that
coming.
Works well. Joe Santaliquido, too.
Joe Santaliquido, the Woodward and Bernstein of it all. Who knew?
Yeah. So I don't know. What do you make of it?
It's horrible, Elliot. What am I supposed to make of it? Look, I think that Deion definitely knows people. I don't think that's smoke. I don't think that's, you know, BS. I think that Deion, and I don't know how many players it was. Maybe it's one, maybe it's two, maybe it's five. Who knows? Probably not that many. But there's been an eagle or two who has said to Deion something to the effect of, I'll tell you what, me and other people in the locker room don't think Carson Wentz is the guy. Like, something like that happened, clearly.
Yes.
And it's concerning, of course. Like, what other response is there to it? It's incredibly concerning.
This also ties into
and hard to blame them, too. I understand if you're a player on that team and you see Carson keep doing the same stuff week in, week out, I can understand how you would lose faith in him. I understand it.
Yeah. And this comes back to what Doug said when he was asked about starting Jalen Hurts or pulling Carson to put Jalen Hurts in. He said, I don't think you do that because it signals like panic and that the season is over.
Season is over.
To some people, though, like, it might signal the exact opposite.
Okay, hold on. This is a really interesting. I want to talk about this because Doug said a few things at his pressers this week presser and his interview with Angela. I want to get to. So give me one sec. I want to talk about this in one sec, but let me remind everyone. As we all know, we always talk about so many of the Go Birds faithful have already joined us and set up their accounts and are having a blast using the Parks casino sports book app. As you know, Elliot and I will do our pod every week. It'll be out tomorrow, picking every single game on the slate. You can bet on every single game on the slate. As I just mentioned, you can bet on, you know, how many points someone will score. Plus, with Thanksgiving coming up, every Thanksgiving game on the slate right now, Pittsburgh a 4-point favorite over Baltimore. A lot going on with that game. Listen to our Parks pod tomorrow. We'll tell you what we think of that. Houston, a 3-point favorite at Detroit. And Dallas, a 3-point favorite hosting Washington. You could bet on any of those games. You could check out the instant betting feature for all the college and pro games on the Parks Sportsbook app, as it makes the games watching so much more fun. You can bet on game and player prop bets, like player passing yards, rushing yards. Bet on who scores first, who scores last. Follow Elliot for his Parks Pick of the Week. Did you put one out yet? Waiting a little bit?
Ugh, I put one out last week, and it's another loss. Like, I'm just in a funk right now.
So here's what it is. Bet against Elliot's Parks Pick of the Week.
Exactly. But here's my Parks Pick of the Week, and you're going to especially hate this, but you ready? Dallas -3 on Thanksgiving.
Well, you're going to have to wait until our Parks Pick tomorrow, Parks Pick Pod tomorrow, to find out what I think of that. But I'll tell you,
Something tells me I think it'll involve the word sucks.
Well, Dallas does suck. Dallas sucks. But may not be the worst bet. We'll talk more about that one tomorrow. For now, download the Parks Sportsbook app. And here's the deal. If you download now, sign up now and get a risk-free bet of up to $500. Yes, $500. Download the app or go to parkscasino.com/PA and use our promo code GOBIRDS. That's GOBIRDS to get your risk-free bet of up to $500. Again, that's parkscasino.com/PA. The website has all the details. Your risk-free bet is refunded on your loss as a free bet. As always, you must be 21 and present in Pennsylvania. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. All right, Elliot, back to Doug, because, man, every week it feels like we're talking about things Doug says at a press conference. This one, the line he had after the game, I thought, and to your point, I thought it was one of the dumbest things Doug has said all season. In a season of dumb things that Doug has said, to say that, and I understand what he was trying to do. He was trying to have Carson Wentz's back. But to say it that way, especially because, bro, like, you might have to go to Jalen Hurts at some point. Like, so,
yes.
And what if Carson gets hurt and you have to go to Jalen Hurts by circumstance? Then, even though you didn't pull him, season's over. Like, you've put yourself in a situation where now whenever Jalen Hurts plays, if he plays, that in the coach's mind, that is conceding the season. I couldn't believe he said that, Elliot. I understood what he was doing. I thought it was so dumb.
Yeah, and look, from another perspective of it is, let's say they do trade Carson Wentz and they keep Doug, right?
Like, yeah, and then it hurts to Doug. Yeah, just a great point.
You still have to worry about your relationship with Jalen in that regard. I think that, like many things Doug says, it came from the right place. He just phrased it poorly. I think what he was probably trying to say was, when you bench a quarterback, it's a real shock to the roster and it signals panic. And I don't know if I'm ready to do that yet. Saying the season was over, probably not ideal, you know, wording there. But this comes back to the locker room of, like, I get your point that when you bench Carson, it's a big deal. But what if people, you know, to what Deion's saying,
well,
like,
yeah,
what
clearly,
if people,
right?
You should bench him. Like, you know,
clearly.
There's also that aspect of it of, and look, Carson deserves to be benched, but he also has that contract and he, you know, like, he earned the number two pick in the draft. Like, when you get drafted that high, like, you have earned that, right? And then he played really well in 2017, which got him a big deal, which is why now he has this security financially, right? So, like, on one hand, the things that are giving Carson his job, he has them because of things he's accomplished. So, like, he deserves to be benched, but he's also afforded himself a very long, you know, like, leash, as we can see, right? But to the other hand, if you're in that locker room and you see that the main reason you're losing every week is because of Carson, like, I don't know. If you're on the defensive side of the ball, you only give up, I think they gave up, what, 10 points to the Browns, and you lose, like, how can you not come to practice and be like, let's see what this other guy has? And I think that's kind of what Deion is saying, and what it seems like the feeling in the locker room is that they are not happy with how Carson is playing. And I mean, who blames them? Honestly, the question, and who knows, maybe they see Hurts in practice and they're like, this guy looks really good. They said that about Boston Scott. They said it about Greg Ward, right? Like
Travis
Fulgham. Who knows? Travis Fulgham. Yeah.
Well, and to your point that you made earlier in the pod, that is just factual, is that Jalen Hurts is not Carson Wentz coming out of college, even though Carson Wentz was the second pick. I mean, in terms of coming into the NFL, like, he's not your everyday second round pick. Jalen Hurts,
right,
was, you know, like you said, along with probably Burrow, like the number one known quarterback in Tua. Like those guys were like household names. Like he played at Alabama and Oklahoma. He played in two championship or two college football right. playoffs. Like, you know, like this guy was a Heisman guy. Like this is a guy who everybody knows. It's not just, you know, and your Nate Sudfeld point like speaks to that, but it's even if it was a second round pick, like a Kevin Cobb back in the day, like just a second round quarterback guy. Like, yeah, he's the young guy, but like Jalen Hurts is someone that they know and that they have a connection to and that they think of in that way already. So that only adds to it.
So let's get some final verdicts here. Yes. But I mean, we can keep talking about it.
Nah,
obviously,
we're good. Let's move on. I would like to rip Doug for a second. So let's move on from benching Carson.
All right. Final verdict. You would be open to benching Carson at halftime.
Correct.
You would not bench him, but you would also be willing to go back to him even if Jalen Hurts plays well.
Correct. Yes. That is where I'm
at. Okay. I am not yet ready to bench Carson, but if they did and Jalen Hurts plays well, I think they would have to stick with Jalen. So
who,
that's
who
where we're currently
it,
at.
But I am
official...
more ready to bench Carson than you. This is maybe the craziest thing that's happened. I was going to say in 2020, it's impossible. Maybe the craziest thing has happened today.
Let's go. Hey, let the Bronco buck. That's all I can say, right? You got to keep letting them buck and see what happens.
All right. But... Doug, first and foremost, I thought Doug, particularly his Monday press conference, was, what's the word I'm looking for? An asshole.
Annoying.
That's asshole was the word I'm looking for. Like, sure, you know, he did the yes, no answers. If people didn't ask a question that wasn't a yes, no answer, he'd be like, yes, and then move on to the next one. He just seemed surly. He seemed pissed off. And I thought it was absolutely the wrong tone to take on that day in that situation. It was like, I'm getting real tired of Doug and his press conferences, but to something that I want to rip Doug for, but really, we all know this is not a Doug-only decision, but he was asked, Jason Peters, is Jason Peters your left tackle moving forward? Elliot, he said yes. He said
yeah.
Jason. And look, Howie Roseman, Jeffrey Lurie, you're part of this too, because I know that Doug can't make a single decision without you. That's why the whole like bench Wentz thing is the funniest part, because I don't care what Doug says. Every single one of us knows that he can't make that decision on his own, which isn't of itself. The fact that Doug Peterson is a Super Bowl winning coach and can't make these type of decisions on his own is an all-time embarrassment for Doug, for the organization across the board. I mean, again, I know we keep saying it every time, but like they fired his coaches when they let him go up and say he was keeping his coaches. They fired him the next day. This man is impotent in this organization. It is unbelievable.
Okay, so I actually don't think him not having final say on Carson is like a huge slight on him. I do think that when it comes to a decision of that magnitude, that you have to have the owner involved. I don't really care if Howie's involved, but I guess you can make the argument he should also be involved. Like if you're benching Carson, I don't think that like Doug should have final say on that. I think, you know, I could see why he should, I guess, but
I disagree.
I'm okay with the fact that
I think the head coach should have final say on all of these type of matters in any situation on any team. Like that's why he's your head coach. Like that's why he's your head coach. It's his job to coach the team on the field to make the best product. Like that's his job. But regardless of that, like, and I understand you're talking.
But to Jason Peters, he should have final say.
For sure he should. That's what I was about to say. Is regardless, I understand that Carson is there's a lot of implications, and Carson himself is a unique, special case because of all that's happened the last 4 years with Foles and the whole thing. It's a unique situation. But on the whole, the lack of control, the lack of power that Doug Peterson has as a Super Bowl winning coach is really it's a joke, to be honest.
Yeah, he should have more. I've been
Absolutely
saying this. I think he should have been
it's
allowed to pick his. Yeah,
he can't pick his staff, Elliot. Like Matt Rhule comes in and gets to pick his staff. Like all these guys, like any coach gets to pick their friggin' staff. Like it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It is a shame, and it's too bad because ultimately, you know, I think Doug has to take a lot of crap for stuff that aren't his decisions. You know, and then they roll him out there, and he has to say these things, and then he, you know, is made to look like a fool. Like Joe DeCameron, when he had you on today, asked you that. He said, "Does Doug, you know, like does Doug understand that he looks like a fool with some of these answers?" And I contend that yes, he looks like a fool, but it is because of Howie Roseman and Jeffrey Lurie and the situations they put him in.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit like Brett Brown, you know, when he was like the front-facing voice of the organization, but didn't really, I mean, he did towards the end, but initially it was like, you would ask him when Joel Embiid was playing, and you know, that's not answers he has, right? Those are higher up answers. But to the Jason Peters thing, I initially, when we had this discussion, I've been on Jason Peters' side like almost this whole time. I was on his side in terms of getting the money, right? I was on his side in terms of play him once he's healthy because you play the best left tackle. I'm now at the point where, like, fine, just play Mailata.
Welcome aboard, Elliot.
Just play Mailata. Like, Jason Peters is not playing well enough at this point to deserve the job. He did play pretty well against New York and Dallas, but he's not playing well enough to have earned the right to continue to hold this job. And just play Mailata. Like, and I don't get why they're playing Jason Peters. They must really, really think he is way better than Mailata, or Doug's not getting to make the call. But
yeah,
either way,
come
like,
on, Elliot. You know what it is. It is, this is 0% a on-the-field decision. Zero. It is. It's Jason Peters. That guy can do whatever the hell he wants. That's it.
Yeah.
End of story. We have seen way too many examples over and over and over again. Talk about looking like a fool. How about Doug Peterson having to go out there and explain the whole Jason Peters thing with the left tackle and all that and the more money? Like you look like a fool because Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman give Jason Peters whatever the hell he wants. And I think it's a theme across the board. I mean, we've talked so much about this team and their inability to move on from people, and we see it over and over and over again, and Jason Peters is the prime shining example of it.
And I think that's why, more than like Doug and Carson, I can make the argument to replace Howie, because I really think this team needs a fresh set of eyes to come in here and look at the roster. Like, not somebody that has an emotional connection to anybody. Just someone that come in and will say, like, yeah, you should cut Alshon. Like, done. Like, no, you should not bring Jason Peters back. Like, yes, Brandon Brooks is coming off of two major injuries. We should explore that situation. Like, you need someone to come in with a cutthroat mentality and clean up what's going on with the organization. And I don't know if, I think Howie has the skill set to do it. I just don't know if Howie, as the person that he is, having been here for so long, can do it. And
yeah.
Jason Peters is a perfect example.
I mean, the evidence says he can't. Just if we're going off the evidence, it says he can't. And you know where I'm at. I mean, I think move on from Howie today if they could. Obviously, that would never happen. And I don't think they'll move on from him after the year. But I am ready for Howie Roseman to be gone, like, flat out.
I'm not so sure they're not going to. I mean,
I hope
who
so.
Knows? But
look, if this look, bottoms out, if they lose out, I think anything's on the table.
Well, I think they could. If they win less than five games, I think anything's on the table. Because it's not just one season. It really is more than one year. And I know on previous pods I've said, look, this is their first down year. And that's true from a record standpoint. But if you're Lurie and you look at it, like, you could make the argument 2019 was also pretty alarming in a lot of ways, right? So like, Lurie could move on from them. And from a perspective of like, this also comes back to Carson, but you know, what's more damaging, to trade Carson and take the big cap hit, or to fire Doug and Howie and hire coaches and GMs because of Carson? Like, I would argue that the latter. Like, it's very risky to only fire some, right? It's risky to hire a head coach, but you give him the quarterback. It's risky to hire a GM, but you give him the head coach. Like, in a way, I think kind of blowing this completely up and just removing all three is the right way to go about this if you're Lurie.
Yeah, I agree with that in general. Like, I think blowing it up makes a lot of sense. I will say, though, like Carson, I wouldn't hire a head coach because of Carson, but that doesn't mean you can't see if that coach can work with Carson. Again, you know, especially if you hire a coach who, as I've talked about to you a million times, I advocate for hiring a coach who's going to, do what he does based on the talent that he has and put his players in the best position to be successful and maybe base his scheme off his players rather than himself. I think that's incredibly important. So I think if you bring in a coach like that, then why not see if this guy can rehabilitate Carson? We know that at least somewhere inside Carson, there is a great football player. We don't know if he'll ever be that again. He definitely won't be 2017 again. But like, there is at least something there that I think would be worth taking a shot on. So I would be more inclined to get rid of Howie and Doug and bring in a coach and a GM on their own and say, hey, see what you could do with Carson, but you're also free to draft a new quarterback, or if you believe in Hurts, whatever, like, this is your show. I would definitely not force them to try and like make Carson work because of that, but I definitely wouldn't not try Carson out with a new coach and new options. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's a more viable thing to do. But again, I would not make the hiring of the coach based on a guy I think can rehabilitate Carson. That wouldn't be my only focus in hiring a new coach.
it would be really funny if they fired Doug and Howie and hired Lincoln Riley, but then also kept Carson on the roster.
And Lincoln, like, and Jalen Hurts could do their thing. Yeah, Carson just hanging out. It would be. It would be horrible. And poor Carson.
Another, like, stab in the back to Carson of bringing
just brutal.
His former head coach. Yeah.
I will say, real quick, from a coaching perspective, and again, I know I harped on it after the game, but I'm not out on Doug or anything like that, but I have been very disappointed, just to bring it back up again, and it reminded watching the Rams play last night, like, just how crisp and how tight those teams play and how well they execute. And, like, there was at the end of the half, they complete a pass to Robert Woods, and, like, it was like a 50-yard pass, 40-yard run or whatever, and there was like 10 seconds left, and they had to rush up and spike the ball to kick a field goal. It was like 1 second left, and, like, I'm sitting there, and I'm like, there's no way the Eagles would get this done. Like, they would take them 6 seconds longer than it took the Rams just to hustle up and get a playoff. Like, because they're so undisciplined and they execute so poorly game after game, week after week, that I do think that is something that Doug, if Doug could fix one thing right now, like, I don't know if he could fix Carson, but he can get his guys to play more discipline and play harder, because we've seen him do it in the past. I will say I am that is something I'm watching.
So I think one takeaway I have from watching Doug sometimes at the podium is, and I don't want to, like, checked out is maybe not the best phrase here, but I do think Doug kind of knows that this is a lost
cause. This ain't the year.
Yeah. And honestly, this is just my complete speculation, but I think it's, he knows Carson's not the answer and he's stuck with Carson.
I think there's, if nothing else, he knows that him and Carson don't work. And we said this after the game, but I believe that Carson Wentz is not a Doug Peterson quarterback, and Doug Peterson's not a Carson Wentz coach. Like, that's what it is.
Yeah. Mike Quick was on your show with the camera and Richie, and I thought he had some really interesting things to say. Like, Carson has to listen to the coaching in order, like, the coaches could be telling him the right thing. And, you know, I want your take on what you thought of Mike Quick had to say, because I couldn't tell, was he saying that they need to bring in new coaches because they're telling Carson the wrong thing, or because Carson, they're not getting through to Carson?
I was confused by the way he said that too. I think his main takeaway was bring in new coaches and fix Carson, but it did seem like his main point when leading to that was the idea that whatever the coaches are saying to Carson, it's not getting through to him.
He's not listening, you have to be willing to change.
Yeah, which is what we were going back to before, which again goes back to my thought that, like, this guy needs to be coached differently than what you're doing, because clearly what you're doing is not working. Like, no more of the same from you, Doug, from you, Carson. Like, enough of the, I'm going to keep doing what we're doing, or we're going to get it right. Like, no, like, change your approach. And this goes back to the Doug thing that I've had issues with, is it does feel like Doug is stubborn when it comes to his approach and how he does things. That he's you've said it before, that it's his Super Bowl winning offense and he believes in it. Well, guess what, man? That was a long time ago now. Like, you need to
but
adjust.
I can also adapt. I can also see the frustration if you're Doug. Like, you know, you won a Super Bowl here. You were a beloved head coach, right?
Yeah.
And you're just sitting on the sideline or practice and being like, looking at Carson, just being like, bro, like, listen to what I'm telling you. Like, do what I'm telling you. And, you know, and I think it comes across a little bit in the press conferences where it's Doug's just kind of like, I don't know what to do. Like, he's not improving. I'm telling him what to do. He's not doing it. Like, what else do you want me to do here? And I get your point about changing how you do things, but it's just, and he has to do it, I guess, but it just must be infuriating for him when he's had so much success as a head coach in the NFL. He's had success with another quarterback, and he now has to, like, bend over backwards to Carson. Like, that must feel unfair.
Agree to a point, but I also, again, I think,
but you have to do it. Like,
I do think that part of it is Doug's own making as well. Like, I don't think this is all on Carson. I do think that Doug is playing a role in this as well. Like, I think that Doug needs to do a better job. Like, I don't think this is like Doug's doing great and Carson just sucks and that's it. Like, they're both culpable. Like, Doug is part of this too. Like, he can't just act like it's all Carson's fault.
Well, and we've gone down a deep hypothetical now, but, like, I can also see a world where maybe Doug's just like, these players can't run anything.
Which is,
you know,
possible,
like,
too. Like, guys can't get open. They don't execute. Like, this team just stinks. They do stink.
Right. And
it's a bad team. It's a horrible roster. Howie Roseman, it's a horrible roster.
But but also like Doug can't come across as defeated as he does. Yeah, you know, like true. He just can't. Like whatever the truth is, whatever he feels like, you know, he's. And again, I know it's after the game, so he's upset and all that stuff. But like he's asked questions and, you know, he's like looking off camera and like stretching his neck for like 10 seconds before he answers. And it's like, you know, you gotta inspire a little bit more, like not the writers, but like you gotta inspire a little bit more. Like there should not be a topic of how Doug's press conferences are. Like this shouldn't be something we discuss, you know, like
100%, Elliot.
It should just be his press conferences and what he said. And like, yeah, so not great.
Not great. Speaking of not great, last thing I got for you. We kind of mentioned it after the show, but with a couple days after the game, where are you at with the Eagles in the NFC East? You said you finally, for the first time, you're feeling like they're not going to win the division. Are you still there? Like, how do you see this division playing out as of right now?
So my emotional answer to that is I think they're probably the worst team in the division.
That's my answer.
But too. Like,
it's my answer. That's how I feel to my core.
On the flip side, like, look, their defense, they probably have, if not the best defense in the division, like they're better than Dallas.
Washington's
defense.
The only one that could be better.
Well, New York's defense has improved.
It's been playing better. Yeah.
Yeah. And look, the Eagles just gave up 10 points. So, you know, I think you can make an argument, but I think they definitely have the worst offense is the problem. They have the worst offense of the four teams. Like, I mean, Dallas just
Washington's
went and put up
pretty bad too, but I'm with you. They're right there.
Well, I mean, Dallas just put up how many points in Minnesota? 34, right? Like, I mean, if Andy Dalton plays okay,
know,
like they're
I'm
not
that arguing
bad.
That. I'm saying Washington.
Yeah, well,
Washington
I want to look
scored
up
20
how many.
Points. They scored 20 points last week. They scored 27 the week before, but they were down a bunch and kind of caught up at the end.
Kind
they
of,
had
yeah.
five turnovers against the Giants the week before. So, like, Washington's offense is bad too. It's those two.
They are.
They're both.
I
bad.
Agree. They're yes, I would agree with that. Points for their 29th in the league. So yes, Washington offense is worse. But I just also think, and you know, we're closer to it, so we ride the emotional roller coaster with this team, whereas we just more see from afar what's happening with those other three teams. I mean, like, you know, New York did just fire their offensive line coach because he got in like some type of altercation with Joe Judge. So like all these teams have issues, but I will say it just feels like the Eagles have the worst, like kind of like stink on them, you know, just like a feeling of like, this is not their year. Whereas I could potentially see, I mean, even Dallas, honestly, like, if their defense just becomes even just bad and not really bad, and Andy Dalton is just average, like I could see them being winning the division. They have,
well, they have
by
the
far
easiest
the easiest schedule.
Schedule. It's not even close. It's by far the easiest
yeah.
schedule. I
right,
think they're going to win. If I had to bet right now, I'd bet on Dallas. I would say in terms of order to win the division, I would go Dallas 1, Giants 2, Philly 3, Washington 4, but like that's really close. Like that would be my guess on yeah. how it plays out.
I think that's where I'm at too. And what's tough is like the Eagles don't play New York again, right? So they don't get a chance to pick up there. They do play Dallas in Dallas, but that's a pretty tough spot as well. You know, like that's a not an ideal thing to have to go to if Dallas is playing well. So I don't know. I don't think they're going to win the division because, like I said, and it's not completely fair to Carson, even though he put him in there. Like the only way to change a season around is to change the quarterback, because that's the biggest change you can make on a football team. And I don't think they're going to do it. So I expect them to just do more of the same. And I think they'll end up with 4 or 5 wins. And I think another team in the division will get to 6.
Yeah, I think they end up with 4. I don't know if someone else gets to 6 or not. I think someone will get to 6. Ultimately, I think Dallas probably will. But I think they get to 4 wins. I think the my prediction as of now is a 4-11-1 finish. I think they win one of. I think they probably beat Washington in the season finale in a game that doesn't matter to either team. That's my guess.
So of Seattle, Green Bay, New Orleans, and is that do they have another tough opponent after
no,
that?
No, that's
or is
it.
It
it's those three and then the last.
Okay.
Two.
So
oh, no, Arizona,
three,
Arizona too. Yeah, Arizona.
Oh yeah, and Arizona. My bad. Okay, I think that's obviously a tough one too. Of the four games, like. Which do you think is the most winnable?
None. I mean, I get like, none are, I don't think any are that much more winnable than others. You could say Seattle, like worst pass defense in the league. So maybe you can find a way to get lucky against them. But I mean, who thinks the Eagles are actually going to beat Russell Wilson? I mean, let's be real. Arizona, just because they're not a great team. But I mean, the idea that they're going to beat Kyler Murray seems far-fetched, and obviously New Orleans, if Taysom Hill's the quarterback, but they're just such a better all-around team. Their defense is so much better. Like, I think you could make the cases for any of those games in that way, but I just think they lose them all.
So I actually think that Seattle's the most winnable of them.
Yeah, I mean, that defense is legit bad. Look, they've lost three in a row. Yeah. Or no, they had lost three in a row before finally beating Arizona. So.
And Russell Wilson has cooled off a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, he's not the MVP front runner anymore, that's for sure.
Right. That being said, like,
they're gonna
how many
lose
yards
all four.
Is DK Metcalf?
They're going to lose all four. Let's right. call it like we see it, Elliot.
I think they're going to win one more game.
Yeah, that's what I said. We both think that's, 4-11-1. Yeah, me too. So they're like a top 7 pick. I'll take it.
And look, that is good for the franchise.
You
for
need
what
it,
worth.
Man. You need it. All right, you got any final thoughts, E?
Yeah, here's one more. Which would you be more excited about? A top 7 pick and Jalen Hurts is the quarterback, or winning the division with Carson, but like feeling like Carson's your guy moving forward?
The latter.
Okay.
But
yeah, I don't know where I'm at.
Which do I think is more likely, the former?
Yeah. I do think we're heading towards him having a top 7 pick. And that'll be, I mean, look, it's going to be a painful last 6 weeks, but it'll be an exciting offseason. Yeah. That's for sure.
Hey, last time they had such a high pick, we got Lane Johnson. So that worked out pretty well. Good.
Go ahead.
I was going to do my final thoughts if you've got more late on.
Yeah, well, I was going to ask if you have any Thanksgiving takes.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I was going to say for those people who don't listen to our Parks Picks pod, like if you're not interested in gambling or the other games or whatever, happy Thanksgiving. We are thankful for you. That's what I will say. And I swear from the bottom of my heart, that is what we are thankful for. I can't believe anyone listens to us talk. We would do this anyway. Elliot and I have conversations like this off the air all the time.
Yes.
So the fact that we get to do it in the microphones and actually have people listen is such a gift. And I'm thankful for that. So happy Thanksgiving. That's what I was going to say. Other than that, I mean, I think the only truth, I mean, there are two Thanksgiving takes that I feel are definitive. They're not even takes. They're just facts. One is that it's the best holiday. Fact. Football, food.
I disagree.
Done. No, there's no argument against it. It's the best holiday. Okay. And then the other inarguable fact is that stuffing is the best part about Thanksgiving. So that's it. Those are two facts that are just facts. Like, it's not arguable. It's facts.
I agree with you that stuffing is the best part of Thanksgiving. I think ham is better than turkey. Like, I would say for a Thanksgiving, I'm just not a big turkey guy in general.
I like turkey for Thanksgiving. It's not like, turkey's fine. Like, I like turkey. It's definitely not the greatest thing ever, but I like it on Thanksgiving. But I also like ham, but I do turkey, but I'm fine with ham.
We're making mashed potatoes. Like, that's like the thing we're making for our very small family Thanksgiving dinner. And I feel like a thick gravy is the key to, like, I don't like a water gravy. Like, a thick gravy is the key. And then also the crescent rolls at the beginning of the meal are also probably the best part of the meal.
Strong.
Like, I feel like they're very delicious. You can eat a lot of them. So those are my Thanksgiving food takes.
I agree with those. I will not fight you on those. That's good.
Christmas is better than Thanksgiving.
That's
though.
Outrageous. Stop.
It's just it.
You sound like a child, Elliot. You know who likes Christmas better than Thanksgiving? Children. That's who likes
Yeah.
it. Once you're an adult,
why it's better?
Once you're an adult, you realize that Thanksgiving is the far superior holiday.
No, it's not, because the lead up to Christmas is so much better. Like, it's like getting cold outside. Like, you know, Christmas music is the best, like Christmas movies. And then you put the tree up. Like, all those things are what makes Christmas the best holiday. It's not even the gifts, honestly. Like, it really isn't. Yeah. But the lead up to it, I think, is what makes it the best holiday.
I'm going
to
say no.
Because it has everything Thanksgiving has.
Yeah, except including everyone in the country. How about that, Ellie? You didn't think about that. Not everyone in the country celebrates Christmas. We all celebrate Thanksgiving. How about that, Elliot?
Good point. My apologies.
Thank you.
Forgot as a...
Look at that.
Yeah. So you don't do Christmas at all?
We do a little bit here and there. Elliot, okay. Emily and I don't. I did when I was a kid. I don't anymore. I don't care about Christmas.
Okay.
It's a stupid holiday.
Well, it's still my favorite one. I apologize.
I forgive you, buddy. I forgive you. Again... Happy Thanksgiving to everyone. If you do listen to the Parks Picks Pod, we'll talk to you tomorrow. That'll be out tomorrow. And then we will, of course, be back on Saturday, 1 to 3. We'll obviously preview Seattle Monday night and then Monday postgame and all that kind of stuff. So until potentially after Thanksgiving, happy Thanksgiving. And if we talk to you tomorrow, we talk to you tomorrow. Until then, he's Elliot M. James. We'll see you guys later.